You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I've known Joe Biden a long time.
Yeah. And,
look, do I think he's lost a step at age 80? Sure.
What are you talking about?
Hard to believe. 13 days. 13 years ago.
$1.7 trillion.
You really have lost a step.
Matter of fact, I like babies better than people.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Sometimes I'll start a sentence and I don't even know where it's going. I just hope I find it along the way.
So during Women's History Month, we celebrate and we honor the women who made history throughout history, who saw what could be unburdened by what had been.
So if the Democratic Party is a part of shutting down a platform that they have used to build community, it can harm us politically in 2024.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is not Howie Carr. This is Caroline Levitt. I'm filling in for the Great Howie Carr Show today for the next 2 hours. You got me, and I have a jam-packed show for you. It's been a couple of weeks since I've filled in for Howie, and certainly there is no shortage of news here in the great United States of America and around the world. Crazy week this past week in American politics, and we will get to that. Currently, right now, our stumbling and bumbling Commander-in-Chief Joe Biden is visiting Canada, our neighbor to the north, as Karine Jeanine Pierre has said it before.
Come on, man.
Yes, that's right. Come on, man. As Biden, watching him now on the screen, talking about his favorite topic, of course, our top priority, climate change. What a joke. This, by the way, as there's been an 846% increase, 846%, let me say that again, of illegal crossings at our northern border.
These are facts. Check them out.
Amen. Between the U.S. and Canada. He and Justin Trudeau allegedly reached a big deal today about these illegal crossings. So I read into that deal. I said, oh, this is great. I'm surprised they're even talking about the illegal migrant crossings and recognizing it as an issue. Well, what's the big deal? Justin Trudeau is pledging to keep 15,000 illegal migrants in the great country of Canada over the next year. What a lame deal. 846% increase. We have hundreds of thousands of people illegally crossing, and Trudeau is going to keep 15,000 of them. Yep, that'll
thank
really
you,
help.
Mr. President.
Yes, thank you, Joe Biden. Anyway, this past week, of course, we've had the imminent Trump indictment. All of the left has been foaming at the mouth, waiting for that Trump mugshot, waiting to put DJT behind bars. Has not happened yet. I'm going to share with you what I know from speaking with President Trump's team over the past week. I also want to talk about Governor Sununu for 2024, question mark. I know all of the New Hampshire listeners have a lot to say whenever we talk about Sununu for Prez. So feel free to call in today, 844-500-4242. And I bring that up because a super PAC, the Live Free or Die PAC, which is spending a lot of money propping up Governor Sununu to run for president, came out with its first ad of the cycle. We're going to play that for you later. And also in store, I have two great interviews for you. Former NCAA swimmer Riley Gaines will be joining us in the 4 p.m. hour to discuss what it was like competing against a man. That's right. She was a D1 swimmer at the University of Kentucky. She was on the team with Leah Thomas, the man who won ESPN Woman of the Year.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
She competed with Leah, and she's going to talk to us. I'm excited to ask her about what that was like, how the University of Kentucky and the NCAA handled it, and new news coming from the World Athletics Forum that is now implementing a ban on trans men from competition. Hallelujah, we're finally getting some sense in us. Also this week, I'm sure you've seen Capitol Hill hearings on TikTok. I have a lot to share on that. I'm a Gen Z American. It's my generation that is overwhelmingly consuming this very dangerous and highly addictive app. And we're going to hear from a congresswoman later, Congresswoman Kat Kamick from the great state of Florida. She was questioning TikTok CEO Shou Chow, and I may be butchering the pronunciation of that name, Taylor.
I think it's Shou Chu.
Shou Chu. Shou Chu. Shou Chu. I'm going to write that down before I butcher it again. Shou Chu. Anyway, Kat Kamick did an excellent job questioning him, and she's joining us later in the 4 p.m. hour as well. And before we get into the Trump indictment, I have to say, I am presenting to all of you my very first cheap bastard deal. And I'm really excited about this, you guys. This is a deal, especially for New Hampshire, Massachusetts folks. You are not going to be disappointed. It is for a business that you have certainly heard of. You probably love it, and you're going to want to take advantage of this deal. I'm sitting down right here in the Howie Carr Radio studio with the CEO of the company. That's later in the hour, so don't go anywhere. First things first, though, you guys, we got to talk about the Trump indictment. I'm sure you're probably sick of it. It's Friday afternoon. You don't want to hear about it anymore, but it's still in the news, and it's arguably could be the greatest number one news story, not just in our country, but in history. If a former president of the United States is indicted for the first time, that's a pretty big deal. So we would need to address it. I want to address it. But it's Friday and there's still no arrest. Grand jury was postponed until next week. I wonder why. Maybe it's because good old fat Alvin Bragg is having a real hard time convincing the jury of alleged unproven hush money payments. And that's what we're hearing over the past couple of days, that Alvin is having, good old AB, is having a really, really hard time convincing this Manhattan grand jury of what took place.
Can you please call him Fat Alvin Bragg every time you refer to him?
I can.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Fat Alvin Bragg. Fat AB. We could call him that. You know, and I don't like calling people names, Taylor, but when you're abusing your power like Fat AB is in Manhattan, and when you have violent criminals and rapists and murderers running around the streets of Manhattan, there was a guy that just killed a beautiful young woman after he was arrested and released 8 times, and then he took her life, and now he'll finally be life behind bars. When you abuse your power in such a way, you deserve to be called names. I think that's fair. Right, Taylor?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you for justifying that, making me feel better about Fat AB. But it's true. You know, the thing is, you guys, Justice Department wasn't going to bring on this case. The previous DA in New York, Cy Vance, he said he was not going to bring on this case, didn't bring the case. And even Alvin Bragg himself, when he first got elected, said there's no way that he would bring this case forth. So why are they doing it? Now he's realizing he can't convince this grand jury, and he's backpedaling the indictment, saying it's President Trump who actually exaggerated this whole entire idea of being indicted this week to raise money and bring publicity to his campaign. And it has worked. If that was the political strategy, it's worked. But actually, Alvin Bragg is starting to look like a fool. So now he's pointing the finger at Trump. And the truth of the matter is, he doesn't have the goods. He doesn't have what he needs to convict Trump. And we've seen people on both sides of the political aisle saying, on CNN even, on MSNBC, that this case has no legal grounding or standing. This comes, again, as the homicide rate in New York City, the crime rate, is completely out of control. Don't take it from me. Take it from someone who understands that personally. I came across this audio today, and I think I'd play it for you because it's quite telling. This is the widow of NYPD police officer Jason Rivera, who was murdered in Harlem this past week. She got a round of applause at her husband's funeral because she called out DA Alvin Bragg, Fat Alvin Bragg. Taylor, cut 13.
The system continues to fail us. We are not safe anymore. Not even the members of the service. I know you were tired of these laws, especially the ones from the new DA. I hope he's watching you speak through me right now.
The new DA. And she says to her husband up in heaven, I hope that her husband is watching her speak directly to fat Alvin Bragg.
Hey, hey, hey!
Very powerful. A lot of people are victims of heinous crimes in New York City, and Alvin Bragg is wasting taxpayer money and time going after Trump, because it's never been about merit or legal credibility, as you and I know. This is just another slaughter in the endless witch hunt that started in 2016 and continues today. So my take on this, you guys, after having some discussions with those down in Florida and reading the latest reporting, Alvin Bragg isn't going to get this done. He's not going to bring the indictment over the finish line. There's no way the grand jury is going to agree to this. He's going to look like a damn fool. But that doesn't mean that the Republicans, especially those in the House GOP majority who have subpoena power right now, should let him off the hook. Saw Jim Jordan on Fox yesterday reassuring us, we the people, that they're not going to do that. They need to use the power of the subpoena to bring Alvin Bragg to Congress, make him answer as to why he brought this case forward to begin with. And they should subpoena his two former assistants who quit upon learning that their boss was going to take up this case. Quite telling. Two former staffers of Fat AB quit because they knew they didn't want to be part of this witch hunt. It's not going to happen. Alvin Bragg doesn't have what it takes, but we should not resist fighting back. This is Caroline Levitt filling in for the Howie Carr Show today. We're going to take a quick break. And as I said, jam-packed show. Stick with us. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back.
Want more Howie? Click the Howie Cam on HowieCarshow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present, for your intellectual and philosophical pleasure,
The Howie Carr Show.
Remain in your seats, I beg you. We are not children here.
What's going on, everyone? This is Caroline Levitt filling in for the wonderful Howie Carr on the Howie Carr Radio Network. And this spring, HelloFresh is delivering great tasting recipes like dietitian win options that are under 700 calories and protein smart choices with 30 grams or more of protein. Go to HelloFresh.com/Howie60. That's code Howie60 to get 60% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh is the sponsor of our poll question today. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is, do you think TikTok presents a threat to the United States?
Well, my answer is a yes.
86% say yes. Ooh. I was going to put yes, no, and I have no idea what TikTok is, but I didn't want to do that.
You know, when I was planning the show today, Taylor, I was thinking about talking about TikTok, and I was like, should I hash out some time to do a little informational session? Because I feel like some people in our audience might not know, and that's totally fine if they don't.
No, that's probably a smart idea,
right?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll give you the quick lowdown while we're on the subject, and since it's going to be our poll question for the next 4 hours, TikTok is an application on your phones that my generation, Gen Zers, and millennials in this country are using. In fact, it is the number one most highly used app for Gen Z Americans to consume their news. Okay, so it's kind of like Instagram, if you know what that is. It's short form video content. There are these people nowadays called TikTok influencers. Their entire business is actually made through TikTok. They post brands that they're promoting. They post products they're promoting. They make silly dances. It's all video content. But the controversy around it is what's been making headlines this week. That's because TikTok is owned by ByteDance, which is a Chinese Communist Party company, essentially. They have leaders within their company that are members of the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, and the Chinese government. And so there's a lot of controversy around the fact that TikTok is gathering the private data and property of hundreds of millions of young Americans in this country, and many lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, and I agree with this, believes that's a grave national security concern for the future. You know, in talking with my friends and my colleagues, young Americans here in Massachusetts and New Hampshire, none of them understand these implications. And they are so addicted to this app. They spend literally 6-8 hours a day on it, which is so pathetic. But it's all they use for their news and for their creative content and for their entertainment. Meanwhile, the CCP is just scooping up all this data.
It's a lot of effort that people put into these things, too, the videos they make. I can't imagine spending that much time working on a video. It takes me a good few minutes to put up a simple text tweet.
Well, that might be a you problem, Taylor, not a problem for the rest of us.
Oh, it most definitely is.
But I will say, having made some content on my own Instagram, which I do use Instagram, I am not on TikTok because of these national security concerns. Although I say that, and I was just a candidate for U.S. Congress, so the CCP's probably gathered all my data already as for being a conservative candidate. But anyway, that's our poll question today, so please participate in it. And I wanted to bring up something for my New Hampshire audience. Please call in on this topic because I know it's a hot one. 844-500-4242. Governor Sununu for president in 2024, question mark? Well, guess what, New Hampshire folks? This week, the Live Free or Die PAC, which is a super PAC supporting and propping up Governor Sununu's potential run for president, is out with a new campaign video noting his 15-point victory for governor in 2020, saying the message of his campaign is candidate quality matters. And I believe we have a little bit of that audio for you. Taylor, cut 14, please.
Joining us now is one of the most popular governors in the country.
Now, you cruise to a 15-point victory.
You're one of the most popular governors, Republican governors in the country.
What do you believe the message is from your race, Governor?
Candidate quality matters. So we have to start putting in folks that are definitely going to come together and work across the aisle.
Look, I think a lot of people want policy to be fixed, but they're saying, you know what? We can fix policy later. We're going to fix crazy right now. Enough of the polarization, enough of the extremism. Let's get back to the basics and deliver me some results.
Let's remember what we're about. Limited government, local control, believing in individual responsibility. That's the live free or die spirit in New Hampshire.
And yeah, we got the strongest economy in the country. There's no doubt about that. We're ranked number one for personal freedoms and lowest crime and lowest poverty rate.
I'm spending a lot of time nationally trying to grow the party as Republicans. Talk to independents. Talk to the next generation of potential Republican voters that right now no one is really reaching out to. But I think we have a lot of hope and optimism and a way to kind of want them to be on our team. And they should want to be on our team. It's not just about the negativity that you see in the media and the press and that they've kind of been inundated with. It really is about good government.
I mean, this is America. This is one of the most amazing places on the planet Earth. We should all wake up and be grateful, which is why local politics, not Washington politics, local politics and local solutions really work best. I love being a part of that. And that's why grassroots retail politics, constituent service, connection with the individual really does matter. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Huh. Well, there you have it. That's the first ad coming out of the Sununu camp. And I should say, disclosure, that's not from his campaign. That's from an outside group, a PAC that wants him to be the next president of the United States. And the key here is the video. Well, first of all, you heard the audio. It's very upbeat. It's very positive. It's very Sununu. That's his whole mantra, right? Being positive, being the next generation of leaders. But the video is telling, it's him skiing in the White Mountains. It's him paddleboarding at Hampton Beach, signing baseball hats at Fisher Cats Stadium. And I think, look, that's a great message if you want to be reelected governor of New Hampshire. But my question is that going to work for a national audience? Is that going to work in the Bible Belt, who are going to be made aware of the fact that Sununu is a pro-choice governor, right? Are those pro-life states going to go for a guy from a bluer state up in New England? You know, it's a question to ask, but I think Sununu is aware of that, right? Regardless of what you think of the guy, he's good at politics. His father was chief of staff to a president. He's been in this a long time. He's using Sean Hannity's voice to pump his conservative creds. Let's hear from you after the break. This is Caroline Levitt on The Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Real. Oh, I'm on. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. This is Caroline Levitt. And now I'm sitting here with my friend and your friend, Grace Curley, who has the news of the day.
Yes, I do, Caroline. I want to start with a pretty amusing story about the French president, Emmanuel Macron. I don't know if you saw this.
I didn't.
He was doing an interview.
Okay.
And there's been a lot happening in France lately. So
yeah,
he
just
should
a little.
Be, he should be very sensitive to the problems that his people are dealing with. And he was trying to tell people in France that, you know, they needed to sacrifice more and all of these kind of talking points.
Mm-hmm.
And then it dawned on him, I think mid-interview, that he was wearing a very expensive watch.
Hmm.
Very expensive. Marie Antoinette style expensive.
Like a Rolex? What are we talking here?
It's a luxury item. It's a wristwatch. I think it was valued at, I've seen different reports. This is from Newsweek. It says, a video of the French president appearing to remove a wristwatch during an interview on French television has been shared alongside claims that the luxury item is worth $85,000.
What? That's more than the average American's salary, by the way.
So he goes viral because when it dawns on him that, like, oh, this is not a good look. I'm wearing a watch.
Right.
And I'm telling people about sacrifice. He puts his arms underneath the table and starts to David Blaine the situation. And like, ooh, Houdini, I'm going to get out of this wristwatch. And then he comes back up with nothing on his wrist. So now the video has gone even more viral. The reason I bring this up, Caroline, is because I was just thinking, like, what's worse? I mean, being on TV with the watch, lecturing people about sacrifice, or thinking you could take it off midway through the interview.
And fool people.
And fool people.
Like they wouldn't notice.
That's a really bad look. Right?
And how do you explain that? I'm wondering what his comms team is currently thinking. They must be scrambling. Have they replied? Have they said anything to this report?
No.
What are they going to say? His wrist was itchy? I mean, like, what's the...
This is how you know.
I'm a comms staffer.
You were in comms. You already have a very good excuse. His wrist was itchy. That would probably be it. And that would kind of make sense.
Yeah.
But watching the video of him when he realizes it and he just sticks his arms underneath the table.
His body language. Like he looked like a little kid that was getting caught.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. It was almost very Gavin Newsom-like where, you know, rules for thee but not for me. Do as I say, not as I do.
You know, he should just own it, right? Like... Trump owns it. Trump lives at Mar-a-Lago, which is like the most beautiful building in the world. He lived at Trump Tower, and it's not like he tries to hide it. He says, yeah, I'm rich. It is what it is.
But the difference, I think, is that with someone like Trump, he is not lecturing people on how they need to.
He wants everyone to be rich.
Yeah, exactly.
He wants us all rolling.
He wants rising tides.
Right.
Exactly. Okay, so now moving back to social media a little bit here, because you've been talking about TikTok.
Yes.
And I have a question for you. You're Gen Z. I keep seeing these stories about the teacher strikes in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this earlier this week on my show. A lot of these teachers are creating dances. So parents can't send their kids to school because the teachers are on strike. So they're dealing with, you know, how do I go to work? How do I find childcare for my kids while I'm at work? And then the people who are on strike put up these videos. I don't know if it's on TikTok or Instagram or whatever social media, but they're dancing in the streets. They're dancing. They're doing what looks to me, I'm a little older, looked like the electric slide. I'm sure it's called something else at this point. What is this obsession with all different career paths, nurses, teachers, having to film themselves dancing?
It's really weird. We've seen nurses be fired for it in the ICU. Like in the midst of the pandemic, they were just dancing and having a jolly good time while people are dying around them. And now you have these teachers. How insulting to these parents whose children are out of school. I think it's 800,000 kids in LA public schools, or maybe 600,000, but it's one of the largest school districts in our entire country. And you have all these parents who don't have childcare. Many of them are, you know, low-income families. Their kids are out of school and the teachers are dancing. I mean, just save it. If you really want to dance, go in your living room and do it in the privacy of your home.
Right.
Why are you publicizing it for the world to see while you're not showing up for work? It's like you're double punching the parents in the face, right?
Yeah, it's rubbing salt in the wound, absolutely.
Right.
And just to your point, these parents... It hasn't been that long since their kids were home for 18 months because of the pandemic. So that's fresh in their mind.
Exactly.
So I can't imagine the rage. But people do have this thing now where whatever you're doing, you need to film it and you need to let the world know. It's not just that I'm dancing.
Yeah.
I want you to know that I'm dancing.
Well, we live in a narcissistic digital culture where everyone feels like you have to show what you're doing at all times. And I fall victim to that sometimes. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I feel like there's this constant need to show people what you're up to.
Oh, I fall victim to it as well. It's
but
like
you don't
this
do
need
it
for validation.
Yeah, but you don't do it at your job. I mean, you and I want to just bust out a move and show it while we're here working. We could.
Yeah, but if I didn't prepare a show and I was my show stunk, and then Howie saw that I had been posting videos to TikTok of me
you'd
dancing,
be fired.
He wouldn't be happy.
Rightfully so.
I would get a call for sure.
Of course.
You know what's funny? You bring up the attention thing because I was thinking about this today. I watched the Chris Rock special on Netflix.
Yeah.
And he said, we have an addiction in this country and the addiction is to attention. Mm-hmm. He basically lays out like there's four ways to get attention. I just remember a couple of them. One of them was you can be really great at something, but mm-hmm. that's hard. Like it's hard to excel and really be the best. You can have infamy. You can do something terrible mm-hmm. or you can be a victim. And
right.
obviously right now in our society, that's probably the biggest one. But I was thinking about that today because I saw this, this picture from Barnes and Nobles, and you know how they have all those different tables?
Yes.
They had a table that had the sign up and it said banned or challenged books.
Ooh.
And I was thinking like
drawing attention to the books themselves.
Now the bookstores
need attention.
Need attention. They need to be woke. They need to virtue right. signal.
Right.
That listen, we have books that are banned. None of those books are actually banned. Like Pillars of the Earth is on that table. That's not banned.
You're
anywhere.
Literally selling the book. It's not banned.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Well, if it's banned, you can buy it. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense. You know, but you know what I just thought of too with the teachers, because you brought up if you started busting out a move right now and your show sucked, you would probably lose your job.
Yes.
Rightfully so. The teachers feel as though they can do this because they're unionized.
Yeah.
So this is another notch on the unions and how powerful they are. You have these crappy teachers that are just protected by this big union, where in real America, small businesses, you're not allowed to do that. Like you have to show up and perform at your job. You can't just be making TikToks all day.
So I'm going to tell you something else.
What?
The dances,
not good.
They weren't that good.
I did see them.
If you're
not
gonna,
impressed.
If you're going to blow off work, if you're going to leave the kids at home and you're going to go on strike and you're going to put up the dance, those moves better be tight.
You better be busting it down, honey.
Everybody has to be on tempo. And it was really bad. Like, there were people who were doing different moves. It looked like
they looked like they were line dancing, but also not. Yeah, it was strange.
And Caroline, I have aunts who could do the electric slide, knock your socks off. And if they saw that, they would say, that's not a line dance. Everyone's in a different line. Going back to social media, Utah is going to force social media apps to get parental consent before minors are given access to the apps. We've talked about this before, this idea that you can create limits or create ways that kids have to be 18 years or older. I don't know how effective it's really going to be going forward. But the Utah governor, Spencer Cox, signed two bills into law that make his state the first in the U.S. to mandate that social media companies obtain parental consent for anyone under 18 years of age.
I think that's a great solution to the many issues we face because of social media. But, you know, if you just bring it back, greater perspective here, you need parental consent for most things when you're a minor. You know, I'm trying to think of an example, but you can't do a lot of things until you're 18.
To go on like a field trip.
Right.
You need
exactly. A field trip to go to certain, I don't know, certain places. You need your parents' consent in this society. And I think there absolutely should be some restriction on the internet, which is the World Wide Web. There's no ends to it. And we're just allowing these young kids to endlessly scroll without their parents' consent or notification. And I think that's a good first step in the right direction. I'd be curious to see what public opinion on that is in the state of Utah. Is this a bipartisan issue?
That's a very, very good question.
Right?
You know, I was just thinking to myself, when I first got on Facebook when I was younger, I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I called my mom. I didn't need to. I could have just made it. But in my mind, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, I got to ask my mom. And I called her and she was busy doing something. She has four kids, so she was probably very busy. And I called her up and I said, Mom, can I please make a Facebook? And she said, I don't like this idea of all your stuff on the internet. And I said, please, Mom, everyone's making one. And she said, okay, whatever. You
right.
eventually it's like, but even at the time, no one had any idea
right.
what this was going to lead to. This was at the very beginning.
Well, back in the day, and this is funny because I'm literally 25 and I'm actually about to age myself, but growing up, we had like a computer room. Like,
wait,
was
Facebook already out of fashion by the time you were able to use it?
Actually, kind of. Instagram became a thing when I was a freshman in high school. But growing up in my childhood home, obviously we didn't have cell phones or Instagram or Facebook then, but we had one computer room with like the family computer. So that was like an unspoken limitation. Like, you're not just going to sit there all day. Now these kids have iPads, laptops, and phones. So there's no limit. So we need the forms.
I wonder if you're too young for this, but you're right. Like, you have a family computer. And I remember in my house, it'd be like one person had the computer. So let's say I had it and I was playing a game and my siblings would stand around me and watch me play. And then my brother would say, it's my turn.
Yes.
It's my turn.
And your turn always felt the shortest.
Yeah. Always.
No, that wasn't 5 minutes. No.
It's so true.
All right, Caroline, I will be back at 5:30 for Police Blotter Facts Friday.
Fun. Thank you, Grace, so much. Again, you guys, this is Caroline Levitt on the Howie Carr Show. Thanks so much for listening. And when we come back, don't go anywhere. We have a cheap bastard deal. It's my first here at the Howie Carr Radio Network, and it is for a restaurant in New Hampshire that you have to go to. And if you've been there, you're going to want to go back. I'm sitting down with the chief operating officer Joe Linehan of the Galley Hatch Restaurant in Hampton, New Hampshire. We'll be talking to him in a few minutes. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
And we do want to tell you that thanks to Joe Biden, inflation is at a 40-year high, and that's why you need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. A listener of ours, Dennis, said he didn't buy just one 3-Pack. He bought two of them, and he wrote, "Everyone loves them, so do I. After only a few hours, I could tell the difference. Or should I say, smell the difference. The thunderstorm is so powerful. You may not need three, but with the 3-pack, you can use a couple for yourself, as Dennis did, then give one as a gift. We use them here in the studio. I've got one at home. They work great. Everybody loves them. They're all packaged separately in high-quality boxes. The Howie Carr Show, as I said, has had thousands of satisfied customers buy the 3-pack, and it doesn't take up any floor space, no filters to replace, and it's only a third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. With code Howie, you'll save money and receive free shipping. Howie's known as the cheap bastard, but you can be one too. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie at checkout. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Code Howie. Shipping is free.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this.
That's the Democratic Party for you.
I've written to Washington about it.
What do you want to write to Washington for? He's dead.
Howie Carr is back.
It's Howie Carr's cheap bastard deal.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds too good to be true.
Oh, no, it's real, and it's a steal.
You know there's plenty more when you shop at Howie's store for another Howie Carr cheap bastard deal.
Howie Carr. The cheapest bastard around.
Hey guys, welcome back. This is Caroline Levitt on the Howie Carr Show, and we have an amazing cheap bastard deal for the Galley Hatch Restaurant in Hampton, New Hampshire. You guys know I'm from New Hampshire. You know I love New Hampshire, and I love this restaurant. It is one of my favorites. And here with me today in the Howie Carr Radio Network studio is Joe Linehan, the Chief Operating Officer of Tinius Hospitality Group, of which Galley Hatch Restaurant is one of their many amazing delicious places. Joe, thank you so much for joining us today and offering our viewers this amazing deal.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, Joe, so you know I love the Galley Hatch, but I don't know if all of our listeners have been there. Bring us inside the Galley Hatch. It is a cozy, charming New England ambiance. What do you guys have to offer at the Galley Hatch restaurant?
Yeah, so we're located right on Route 1 in Hampton, New Hampshire. We're about 10 minutes away from the beach, so we get a lot of, you know, beachcomers in the high season coming through. When you walk in our doors, we have a cafe bakery. So we are open for breakfast in the morning. We have all sorts of coffees, as well as homemade pastries and cakes.
Fantastic.
When we go in the restaurant, we have three restaurant concepts in one building. So we have the Galley Hatch, which has been there since 1970, and as well as Tino's Kitchen and Bar upstairs, which is a new modern style dining kitchen and bar Mediterranean concept.
And it is beautiful. It is cozy. Like Joe said, it is right in the center of the town of Hampton, right off of Route 1 for those traveling north to Maine or south back down to Massachusetts. It's a great place to stop and get some delicious homemade food. Talk to us about your menu. I know you guys have a lot of fresh seafood that you offer, locally sourced, huge menu. Tell our audience a little bit about it.
Yeah, we definitely have a large menu. There's something for everyone on there. We have, you know, a lot of coastal New England cuisine, but we do have a little bit of Asian cuisine as well as some pasta dishes. So, you know, if you're coming with a small group or a large group, there is something for everyone. One of my favorite things that we have right now is a build-a-bowl. You can actually build any sort of grain or salad bowl. Mix
build
and match.
A bowl?
Yep.
Oh,
build your own bowl. BYOB.
Wow. I love it. Not BYOB. Booze.
No, build your own bowl. Yep. Greens and grains.
Okay. Fantastic. Continue. So you build your own bowl.
Yeah. You can put all the toppings that you want on there. You know, other great options that we have are steaks. Steak tips are incredible. Chicken kebabs. The original owners are of Greek heritage. They started this restaurant, like I said, in 1970. It was called the Mustard Pot. It was a small fried seafood restaurant. Since then, we've had about 13 different renovations.
Wow.
You know, the true American dream right there. And now we have six restaurants in our collection as well as a wholesale commissary.
I love it. And I can personally attest to the owners being wonderful people, and the staff is always warm and friendly too. I go to Kay's Cafe, as you mentioned, for breakfast, and I've been to the Galley Hatch many times for lunch and for dinner. Again, this is Caroline Levitt on the Howie Carr Radio Network. We are offering a cheap bastard deal for the Galley Hatch restaurant in Hampton, New Hampshire. You can go to Howie Carr Show, myshopify.com to purchase your gift card. It is a $50 deal, and you're getting it for just $25. Joe Linehan, do you have any upcoming specials or events at the Galley Hatch that listeners should look forward to? I know you said it's right off the beach, so if people visit the beach this summer, they can certainly join you and dine inside.
Yeah, we always have something going on. We have a pretty good live entertainment lineup for the rest of the year, usually on Fridays or Saturdays. Easter's right around the corner, so if you want to make a reservation for a small or large group, we do have that available. And we also have a paint and sip night coming up. We have events all the time.
Paint and sip?
Yep, paint and sip. So we're going to be giving away bruschetta as well as a collection from our vendors of wines that we have to offer. And that's going to be, you know, a fun night for
and
the
family. And you can paint?
Yep, you can paint and enjoy our food at the same time.
How fun is that? I might have to go to that. And that's coming up in a few weeks, you said.
Yep, that's going to be a couple weeks.
All right, you guys. Well, you know where to go. HowieCarShow.com and click on store. This, again, is a cheap bastard deal for the Galley Hatch Restaurant in Hampton, New Hampshire. Joe Linehan, any final words for the audience before they go scramble to our website to purchase this deal?
Yeah, come on down, you know, to the Galley Hatch. We take all, you know, new visitors. We welcome anyone at all times to come here. We're always open pretty much 365 days a year, except for Christmas. But we'll be there. Happy to accept, you know, anyone. We are all about the hospitalities and open arms when you come and join us.
Seafood, build-a-bowls, great cocktails, too.
Yeah, for sure.
A great full bar, anything you could want.
Yeah, and we just built a new four-season outdoor fire pit patio, which you can have two groups of eight at the fire pits and up at Tino, so you can have a group of 16 around the fire pit as well.
Amazing. Well, you guys know where to get them. The Galley Hatch Restaurant in Hampton, New Hampshire, serving lunch and dinner daily. Their extensive menu offers traditional American food, highlighting fresh New England seafood and seasonal flavors. Three dining rooms, a tap room for over 400 guests. Charming and cozy, I can personally attest. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click store now for the Galley Hatch. We'll be right back.